Welcome to the 5 Series, a series for teens and college students with the objective of reflecting over the 5 pillars of Islam in a really beautiful and concise manner and answering questions that we all have about our faith. To continue efforts like this, visit rootsdfw.org/sustainyouth and help us create more content just like this. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Welcome to our 7th episode of the 5 series, where we're going through the fundamentals of Islam, the fundamentals of our faith, starting with the Shahada series, which was last month, the month of September, and now the Salah series, the month of October, which is actually surprisingly very quickly coming to an end within the next few days. So our last episode of the Salah series will actually be, I believe, next Monday. We're kind of wrapping it up, and alhamdulillah, we've talked extensively about a lot of different types of prayer and tips and guidelines on how to improve your prayer and how to benefit from your prayer and what to do to really derive the most blessings and the most kind of, you know, the fruitful experiences that you can engage in when it comes to prayer. And so today we are going to be, and in my opinion, this is what I thought when we were planning and curriculuming this series out, is, you know, all the prayers that we know of, whether they be Fajr, Dhuhr, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, from the obligatories, are all important. This is why, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them obligatory in their nature to begin with. But in my opinion, one of the most important of the obligatory salawat that tends to be almost neglected, and neglected because one of our most common vices, which is sleep, is the Fajr Salah. And that's what we're going to be discussing today. The reality of the importance of the Fajr Salah and what happens when we neglect it, and also some tips and guidelines and teaching ourselves how to consistently hit that prayer in the early pre-dawn time frame of the day. And so the first thing I want everyone to kind of share with us, and I think this is how we mutually benefit from each other, is what tips do you follow? What tips would you actually advise other people that has worked for you when it comes to consistently hitting your Fajr Salah? How do you do it? Okay, because everybody does it differently. There are moments and ways in which people can learn from each other. It doesn't mean that someone is not learned. It does not mean that someone is more knowledgeable than somebody else. It just means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has opened up a door for you of being able to complete a task or do something that He's made for somebody else a challenge. And that's also a preface that I will give a lot of people before we continue on with this session today, is, you know, there's this notion in Islam that we believe that we all struggle in a different way. Okay, we all struggle in a different way. Everybody's struggle is different, right? لَا يُكَلِّفُ اللَّهُ نَفْسًا إِلَّا وُسْعَهَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that every soul is burdened, but every soul is given a burden that which it can bear. Okay, because, you know, people in throughout, you know, humanity's history, different people have struggled with different things. Some people struggle with things like drinking and socializing. Some people struggle with internal vices and demons, such as arrogance and pride and egotism and ignorance. Some people struggle with lying and backbiting and gossip, things that kind of, you know, really take toll of your social etiquette and manners. So everybody struggles in a different way. And so some people may be praying 4 prayers out of their day, but their Fajr prayer is the one thing that constantly troubles them because their sleep is a challenge for them. And the idea of sleep in and of itself is actually something that makes us human, right? You know, the idea of us needing sleep, needing rest, is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us as creatures of fallibility that, you know, we need in our lives. This is why in Ayatul Kursi, a lot of us may have memorized Ayatul Kursi, which basically is the ayah that perfectly sums up the being of God, being of Allah. Allah says, Allahu la ilaha illa huwa al-hayyul qayyum, la ta'khudhuhu sinatun wa la nawm. That God does not need sleep. Okay, neither drowsiness nor sleep overtakes him. لَا تَأْخُذُهُ سِنَةٌ وَلَا نَوْمٌ. That God in and of itself, the idea of God, what makes him God is that he doesn't get weary. He doesn't need rest. He doesn't need to catch up on his energy. This is something that creations of Allah need. Allah doesn't need it himself. And so the ability to rest and sleep is actually a blessing. It's actually even what I'd say is a mercy from God. Being able to rest is a mercy. I mean, if you can imagine, you know, after a very, very tiring day at work or school, whatever you may be engaging in, like a dream is like going to your home and just plopping on your bed, because, you know, that's something that you've been looking forward to. That's the only way that you can recover in terms of your energy, in terms of your charisma, your drive. That's the only way that you can kind of recover. So sleep and rest is actually a mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he actually says this in the Quran. He says this in Surah An-Naba. Allah ta'ala, he says, in Surah An-Naba, he says, وَجَعَلْنَا نَوْمَكُمْ سُبَاتًا, right? وَجَعَلْنَا نَوْمَكُمْ سُبَاتًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, we have made, وَجَعَلْنَا نَوْمَكُمْ, your sleep, سُبَاتًا. We have made it something for you, right? We have made it a rest for you. We have made it a way in which you can survive in your life. Because if you weren't allowed to sleep, you would be a miserable person. I mean, look at us. Like, when we don't get sleep in a day, we end up being groggy, right? Those of us who sometimes pull very late nights studying or working or finishing a project or doing this, doing that, you wake up in the morning and you haven't had enough sleep in your night, you know that it could actually ruin your next day for you. Your attitude changes. The entire kind of way that you go about your day and your tasks and the thing that you've laid out for yourself, it completely changes as a day for you if you don't get enough sleep the day before. So sleep in and of itself, what I'm trying to say is that it's a blessing from Allah. It's a blessing from Allah. There is nothing less that you can say about it other than it's a blessing. It's something that Allah has given us as creatures that we need. Now, it's also now, having said that, with the understanding that sleep is a blessing, how wrong would it be for us to use that blessing, to use that form of mercy, to neglect an obligatory command that Allah has given us, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ, that your prayer is what keeps you away from fahsha wal munkar, from evil and wrongdoing. And he also says, وَجَعَلْنَا نَوْمَكُمْ سُبَاتًا, we've given you sleep as a form of rest, as a form of mercy for you. So how could you use something that I've given to you as a blessing as a form of negligence towards a command that I've given you? It doesn't make sense. It's like somebody giving you, an iPhone as a gift, right? Like, you accomplished something really awesome, you graduated, you got promoted, you got a certificate or a degree, whatever it may be, and somebody gives you an iPhone as a means of just congratulatory kind of gesture towards you, and you use that iPhone to go and harm the person who gave it to you. It's a very, very contradictory notion. It's a very backwards, counterproductive thing to do, because it seems so bad to harm or even work against someone who gave you a blessing with the blessing itself. Right? It seems very backwards. And so it's really important, first and foremost, that we know that sleep in and of itself is a blessing from God. وَجَعَلْنَا نَوْمَكُمْ سُبَاتًا. But at the end of the day, if we use that same sleep to neglect Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then what happens is that blessing isn't a blessing anymore. It's actually a curse. That sleep becomes a curse for you. And Allah has allotted an amount of time for us to sleep during the night. And he allotted an amount of time before the dawn rises for you to pray. And to actually take that sleep and kind of stretch it towards and through the night in which you're supposed to actually be praying is a form of abuse. It's a form of negligence that really goes to harm ourselves at the end of the day, because our sins at the end of the day don't harm Allah. That's, you know, a big misunderstanding that a lot of people have, is that, you know, when I sin, you know, I'm actually harming God. God doesn't get harmed by anything that we do. You know, we could be, you know, we could be believers or non-believers or doers of good or sinners, or we could be liars or truth tellers, and none of it affects God. What it actually affects is you as a person. You know, when people ask, like, why should I pray? Why does God need my prayer? If God really is all omniscient, and if he's all powerful, if he is, you know, alim and hakim and rahim and all these different things, why does he need my prayer? The reality is, you actually don't understand what the nature of prayer is, because prayer is not supposed to benefit God, it's supposed to benefit you. Allah has given you that form of prayer for you to get to heaven. Nothing else, right? It doesn't benefit him in any way whatsoever. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has pleasure from seeing his servants and his slaves working towards prayer, but he doesn't get any direct benefit from salah. You, on the other hand, do, because you get closer and closer to paradise. And so one of the most interesting things about Fajr, you know, Allah first and foremost swears by Fajr in the Quran, wal Fajr wa la ya'lin ashr, right? He swears by it in the Quran. There's a surah in the Quran that starts by that phrase, wal Fajr. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't just swear by anything. He doesn't just swear by some random artifact, right? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't say, you know, by this pencil. He doesn't say, but Allah does swear by certain things, right? Wal qalami, right? By the pen. Allah swears by things that are meaningful. Allah swears by the sun. Wa shamsi wa duhaha wal qamari idha talaha wa nahari idha jallaha wa layli idha yakshaha. And Allah also swears by the fajr. Wal fajr wa layalin ashr wa shaf'i wal watr wa layli idha yasr. He swears by these things that have extreme importance. So anything that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by, we first and foremost know that they're of grandiose importance. That's the first thing. That whatever he swears by, they're important. Allah swears by asr, right? Wal asr. The word asr is actually really incredible because fajr and asr are actually related together in a lot of different narrations. And we'll talk about this in a little bit later, but why does Allah swear by wal asr? You know, a lot of us, when we read Surah Al-Asr, we think that it just means time. The word asr doesn't naturally mean time because the word for time in Arabic is zaman. The word asr literally means the declining day. So if you were to kind of relate that to time, you know, the Muslim calendar day ends with Maghrib Salah, right? When the sun officially sets, that's when the day is over and the night begins. And the night ends when Fajr comes in, right? When the sun rises, when Fajr is over, that's when the new day begins. So when Allah says Wal Asr, he's actually saying by the time that's fleeing in your day, you know, that Asr is going away, your time is going away in the day, so make sure you pray. And so it's very incredible the way that Allah kind of nuances language and understanding in the Quran. And so when he says, wal fajr, he's saying something extremely important, that this fajr that he's talking about is very, very important. And so why is it important? You know, why is it important? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says in a hadith, in a narration that's authentic, he says, whoever offers the morning prayer, he is under the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whoever offers the morning salah, the pre-dawn prayer, is under the protection of Allah for the rest of the day. This is, by the way, why the scholars, they say that when you pray Fajr, it almost seems like your day that follows is like, it's like all good. You know, like it's all like you've almost set yourself up for success that day. You know, it's almost that, you know, it's almost that, you know, you began your day in such a beautiful way that even whatever hardship or tribulation kind of hits you that day, you find some sort of meaning into it. You find some sort of meaning with it. Rather, when you don't start your day with prayer, you almost miss all the blessings in your day. And it's almost like synonymous with saying Bismillah, right? When you say Bismillah in something, you say in the name of Allah, with the name of Allah, with the help of the name of Allah, all the translations that come with Bismillah, that's a whole different class. When you say Bismillah for something, what you're doing is you're blessing your activity. You're blessing whatever you're doing. So no matter what you're doing, I mean, hopefully, inshallah, it's nothing haram. I don't think anyone says Bismillah and like engages in like a haram thing, right? Hopefully, I don't know. But, you know, when you say Bismillah and you begin a task, no matter what happens in it, that it, you know, the word Bismillah or the phrase Bismillah does not ensure that you're going to succeed in whatever you do. The word Bismillah means that you are asking for the help of Allah for the best outcome or whatever you can possibly do. And the best outcome of that particular activity or that task may not be that you succeed or pass. It may even sometimes be that you fail. But that failure also has meaning behind it, and this is why Bismillah is such a beautiful thing. So when you start your day off with Fajr, it's almost like the same as starting an activity or a task off with Bismillah, because you're starting in the right way. As you know, in the English language, they say you're starting off on the right foot. You know, you don't want to start on the wrong foot. You don't want to get off the wrong side of the bed. You want to start in a healthy way, which ensures that no matter what you do, success, failure, good, bad, whatever you may deem it to be, that it is something that is blessed by Allah. And that's how Fajr starts. And so in the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also, he talks a little bit about Fajr Salah in Surah Al-Isra. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he actually talks about Surah Al-Fajr, or he talks about Surah Al-Fajr. He says, أَقِيمِ السَّلَاةَ لِدُلُوكِ الشَّمْسِ إِلَىٰ غَسَقِ اللَّيْلِ وَقُرْآنَ الْفَجْرِ إِنَّ قُرْآنَ الْفَجْرِ كَانَ مَشْهُودًا. He says, observe the prayer from the decline of the sun, from the decline of the sun until the darkness of the night. And so he's talking about Asr. And then he says, Wal-Qur'an al-Fajri, and the dawn prayer. Inna Qur'an al-Fajri kana mashhuda. That for certainly the dawn prayer is witnessed by the angels. Now this is really, really beautiful. That inna Qur'an al-Fajri kana mashhuda. Mashhuda means, you know, the root word of mashhuda means it's shaheed, right? Shahada, which is a word in Arabic that translates out to something that is witnessed. So mashhuda is basically saying that, like, it is witnessed by somebody. It's a passive form of a noun. It's witnessed, right? So who is it witnessed by? Now, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also for us, he explains this, that, you know, and the scholars that came after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also explained this. Actually, this is a Tafsir al-Jalalain, which is actually by Imam Suyuti. He actually says about the specific verse in Surah al-Isra that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he says that the recitation, the Qur'an of Fajr, kana mashhuda, it is witnessed. What it's meant by that is that the angels of the night, okay, the angels of the previous night and the angels of the new day intently listen to the Fajr prayer being recited out loud because of its great status and virtue. So the angels are the ones that are witnessing your Fajr Salah. You know, there are a lot of narrations and moments in Islamic tradition where when something is witnessed by the malaika, it's like blessed, right? There was a moment, I remember studying this, that, you know, when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had that tour of paradise with Angel Jibreel during Isra wal Mi'raj. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he saw that a group of people were sitting around and enjoying each other's company. And they're having a good time eating, drinking, laughing, you know, almost just socializing easily with each other. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, you know, what is this, right? He asked Jibreel, he goes, what is this, O Jibreel? And Jibreel alaihi salam, he tells the Prophet, he says, well, these are people that whenever there was a circle of reflection, whenever there was a circle of reflection or remembrance of Allah, they would stop in their day, whatever they're doing, they would go and attend it. And you know, also synonymously with that is that when there is this kind of like circle of remembrance or reflection of God, one of the narrations is that the angels that pass by, they stop and they witness that reflection circle. So if you've ever been a part of like a halaqa, or you've ever been a part of like a prayer, or if you've ever been a part of any sort of conversation that involves something spiritually, you know, one of the beauties of that is that the malaika are actually have narrated to have been joining you during that time. So one of the things that is beautiful in our tradition is whenever Allah or the scholars, they say that the angels, they witness your deeds. And whenever the angels witness your deeds, they only have one job, is they go back to Allah and tell him exactly what you did. And so when the angels witness the Fajr Salah, right? You know, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says that the Quran that's recited out loud during the Fajr Salah, kana mashhuda, it is witnessed by these angels that literally come down to hear you pray Fajr. That's what they do. And as soon as they hear it, they go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they tell Allah exactly what you've done. And it's one of the most beautiful things that you can possibly imagine. And so there was a narration from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He also says this. He says, whoever performs the prayer before the rising of the sun, Fajr, and before its setting, Asr, will not enter hellfire. Whoever prays the prayer before the rising of the sun and before its setting will not enter hellfire. Allah will make it impermissible for that person to enter hellfire. Meaning, obviously, like not if you catch one Asr or Fajr, but if you consistently hit those two. And also another meaning of this is that those who consistently hit their Fajr and Asr Salah, the Prophet ﷺ, he means that if you hit those two prayers, it's more likely than not that you will actually consistently pray all your other prayers as well. Right, like you're not only going to be praying your Fajr and Asr. If you pray those two prayers, then you're probably going to be praying the majority of your prayers in a day. Why? Because your Fajr and Asr Salah, in accordance to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, are the two hardest prayers to pray. Why are they the two hardest prayers to pray? Well, number one, Fajr. We already talked about this. وَجَعَلْنَا نَوْمَكُمْ سُبَاتًا, that your sleep is something that you desire. Your sleep is something that you need. So human beings let that sleep take over them, and therefore Fajr Salah is hard to make. Why is your Asr Salah difficult? Because Asr is during the time of the declining day. Your day is coming to an end. And before you go back home, right? Because most people on their way home, there, it's like Asr time hits at a very unique portion of the day. It's like when you're basically finishing up work and before you go home. And so a lot of people neglect their Asr Salah because literally it's before the day ends. Maghrib and Isha sometimes are easier for us to hit because Maghrib Salah happens literally when the sun sets, right? And Isha Salah is at nighttime before you go to bed. But your Fajr and Asr Salah are the two prayers the majority of people neglect. And this is why the Prophet, he said that whoever does their Fajr Salah, their Asr Salah, they will not be allowed to enter hellfire, which is one of the most, you know, interesting things. Another narration, the Prophet, he says that shaitan, we covered this last class, that shaitan basically ties three knots on the back of a believer's head before they go to sleep at night. That before they go to sleep, before they rest, shaitan himself, he ties three knots on the back of a person's head. And he says to him, you've had a long day. You've had a tiring day. You've had a weary day. You deserve to go to sleep. So go to sleep and rest, right? You've earned a champ. And sometimes, like, you know, like shaitan will tell you things and you're like, yeah, that sounds pretty good, right? Like I did work really hard today. I did, you know, work extremely hard today. I grinded, right? I did all my work and I did everything that I could. I stayed late at work. I pulled an extra shift. I did this, I did that. And shaitan will come and coddle you. And shaitan will tell you, you know, you did so much good work today. You deserve to just go to sleep. Just go to sleep. And shaitan's like almost putting you to bed. You're like, yeah, that sounds so nice. I'm going to go to bed. My pillow is so comfortable. It's like 45 degrees right now in Dallas. It's so hot. It's so cold outside. It's so warm in here. You know, it's almost like so tempting, right? It's so tempting. And he secretly ties three knots on the back of your head. The narration says he ties three knots on the back of your head. And when the way that you break those three knots, the way you break those three knots, the hadith mentions, is that the way that the first knot is broken is when one wakes up and remembers Allah. When one wakes up and remembers Allah is the way that the first knot is untied. The first knot that shaitan placed upon the believer's head is untied when a believer wakes up and remembers Allah. That the reason why they woke up is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and no other reason. It's not because they had a nightmare. It's not because, you know, like you couldn't sleep. It's not because you got like hangry at 4:30 a.m. It's not because like you need to go to the bathroom at 5 a.m. You woke up because you know a part of your routine is to wake up in the morning for Allah. That's the way the first knot is broken. Number two, the second knot is broken when they perform wudu. The second knot is broken when the believer performs wudu. That's when their second knot is untied. Now, their third knot is untied when one prays. When one prays, all three knots become untied. So the work of shaitan is undone. The night before, shaitan kind of coddled you to sleep, told you, hey, I want you to go to sleep, rest up. You deserve a champ. You're the MVP. You're the most valuable player on this family, right? You're the best of all time. You're the GOAT. Go to sleep. And you go to sleep, and you know, but when you wake up in the morning, one knot is undone. You make wudu, second knot is undone. When you step on that salah, your third knot is undone, and the believer has conquered his battle with the devil for that time period. It's a very beautiful thing, right? And so now that we've talked a little bit about the virtues of the Fajr prayer, there's a little bit of a warning that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam give the people that are supposed to be praying their Fajr salah. The first thing actually comes from the Musnad of Imam Ahmed, where the Prophet ﷺ, he says, the most burdensome prayers for the hypocrites, the most burdensome prayer for the hypocrites, for the munafiqun, the people who are considered hypocrites. And sometimes the hypocrites are actually talked about more harshly than the disbeliever, because a disbeliever at least wears it on their sleeve, right? They wear it on their sleeve that they don't believe. A disbeliever is just kind of outright about their disbelief in Allah. Then they say, like, I don't believe in God, and that's just it. I am what I am, and take me as I am, or watch me as I go. Now, a munafiq, the difference is that a munafiq will actually say, oh, I believe in God. I believe in Allah. I believe in praying. I believe in fasting. I believe in charity. But when backs are turned, the munafiq is a person who just goes behind and does the exact opposite. And so the Prophet ﷺ, he talks about a munafiq. He says the hardest prayers for a munafiq to pray, to engage in, for a hypocrite to engage in, are the Isha Salah and the Fajr Salah. Okay, the Isha Salah and the Fajr Salah, because they prefer the comfort of sleep to prayer. And this is specifically from the Prophet's mouth. He says that this is literally The reason why they miss these prayers is because they prefer sleep to prayer. And the reality is that the people who, unfortunately, when we neglect our Fajr prayer, is that we choose sleep over the blessing of prayer, which means we don't really understand the blessing of prayer, right? Because we understand the blessing of sleep, we take it over the blessing of prayer. But the Prophet ﷺ, he says, if only they knew what the Isha and Fajr prayers contained, they would come to it even if they had to crawl, is the end of that hadith. That the reason why these people choose their sleep over their prayers because they value their sleep more. But only if they knew what their prayers contained, they would crawl to it if they could. They would crawl to it. Like they would literally scratch away at the floor crawling to their prayer if they knew what that prayer contained within it. That's another hadith from the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he says, whoever prays the Fajr Salah, then he is under Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's protection. So beware, O son of Adam, that Allah doesn't call you to account for being absent from his protection for any reason. That is one of the most accountable hadith I have ever read in my life. That on the day of judgment, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will ask you about your prayer, he won't ask you, why didn't you pray? Because, you know, Allah will actually almost make you know what you missed. So when he asks you, you know, why you missed your prayer, he won't phrase it like that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment, he will ask the son and daughter of Adam, he will say, why did you miss an opportunity to gain my blessings? He won't say prayer. He will say, why did you miss the opportunity to gain my protection, O son or daughter of Adam? Why did you neglect it? Didn't you want my protection? Didn't you want my blessing? It's like saying, like, you know, when a parent offers to, you know, let's say, for example, if a parent offers to pay for a kid's tuition for college, right? A parent, mashallah, offers to, you know, give the entirety of the tuition for a child's college fund, right? And the child neglects the parent. They say, nope, I don't need you in my life. I don't want you. I can do things on my own. The parent will not say, why did you not want me? The parent will say, why did you not want my help? Why did you not want my help? Because that is what really hurts the parent. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not trying to burden you with salah. Allah is trying to protect you with salah. Because salah at the end of the day is not supposed to be a burden. And we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, that it was lessened from 50 to 5 because he didn't want it to be a burden. He didn't want it to be a task for people. He wanted it to be a blessing for people. He wanted it to be a protection for people rather than something that people have to like, oh man, I gotta do this thing again. You know, he wanted to be the opposite of that. I can't wait to do this again. I can't wait to do my salah again. I'm tired, but I need to do this before I go to bed because it's a part of who I am. It's synonymous with a believer. Salah and mu'min are, it's synonymous. They're synonyms. In order to be a believer, you have to engage in prayer. You have to engage in this idea of prayer. So now, how can we consistently pray Fajr Salah? And we'll leave everybody with a couple of tips today, inshallah, to help everybody out. And this is kind of advice for myself, first and foremost. And then obviously, advice for anybody who is open to receiving benefit. Number one, the scholars, they say, physical preparation for your Fajr Salah. How do you physically prepare for Salah? Because, I mean, you know, you're supposed to go to sleep before you pray. Fajr is not a Salah that you're like awake in the day for a long period of time and then randomly you're praying. You're most likely going to be asleep for a while before you pray Fajr. So how do you physically prepare for prayer? The scholars, they actually advise, wind down before you go to sleep at night. Wind down before you go to sleep at night. You know, what's really incredible is, you know, I have a niece and a nephew now. They live like 10 minutes away from us, and sometimes we're over at their house playing with them at nighttime, and you know, and their parents sometimes will say, okay, now Musa, Iman, it's time to wind down. It's time to wind down, right? And sometimes adults attribute, you know, lessons to children, but it's very, very weird how sometimes very, very children-like lessons apply to adults, right? Like, how many of y'all as adults actually benefit from winding down before you go to sleep, right? Like, if you're, like, hustling and bustling and busy and this and that, all that stuff, and then, like, you hit the bed straight, most likely you're going to be groggy when you wake up. But winding down before you go to sleep the previous night is actually a really big blessing for a lot of people, because you're almost like mentally getting prepared for this thing, right? You have some time to think about what you're doing. A Muslim thinks, right? A Muslim doesn't just do, they actually think before they do things. So even something like sleep, which we all think is like, oh yeah, like everyone just does it. You know, sleep is just something everybody does. A Muslim puts thought into everything that they do, even if it may be something like sleep. You're falling unconscious, you think about it first. You know, because Allah, there's actually a narration that actually says that Allah takes away the soul of a person when they go to sleep. This is why, like, your soul literally leaves you while you're asleep. You're unconscious. You know, your body's laying there, but your soul is not there. And so the idea of being in that state is something that provokes thought for a believer. And so wind down before you go to sleep at night. If you're doing something busy, try to wind down. Give yourself like 15 to 20 minutes before you hit the bed. Just calm down a little bit. Just settle down a little bit. And tell yourself, you know what, like, I got to like kind of get into the zone. Like, sleep is a mercy. It's a mercy. So I have to wind down before I go to sleep. Number two is set an alarm. Set an alarm. If you really want to do what you want to do, there's a will to do it. There's a way to do it, right? If you actually really want to wake up for Fajr Salah, you have to take the precautions into doing so. And one of the biggest blessings nowadays is you have alarms, right? If you have an iPhone, it's like, it'll basically give you a heart attack while you wake up, right? It's like, there's like a bunch of funny videos on the internet how like Android owners wake up versus iPhone owners wake up. iPhone owners wake up as though there's like a fire alarm going off in their house. But an alarm is an alarm, right? So set your alarm before you go to sleep. If you know that, you know, you want to wake up for Fajr, that's an intention that you have, then set your alarm and make yourself, and I actually advise people another thing. Don't like doodle on your phone the entire time until you go to sleep, right? I mean, I know there's a habit of a lot of people where they just like to kind of mess around on their phones before they go to sleep. But before you fall asleep, I actually encourage people to throw their phones across the room. Like, throw your phone across the room before you fall asleep, or throw your phone out of arm's reach before you go to sleep. Because what happens, like, that snooze button is like, it's like shaitan, right? That snooze button is going to get you one day, if not every day. Because when you press snooze, you're just like, oh, like, whatever, right? I can do it. I can just wake up another 5 minutes. I mean, how many times have y'all been cursed by the snooze button in your life? You know, you're like, alarm goes off. It's like, you know, 5:30. You're like, all right, snooze, 5 minutes. Another 5 minutes goes, boom, 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 snooze, another 5 minutes. And all of a sudden, like, it's like 7:30, and you're like, oh my God, I've been snoozing for like 40 times. Like, how on earth does this happen? And it happened because human beings are fallible, right? So don't push yourself in a position where you know you're going to struggle and fail. So set an alarm. Put your phone away before you go to sleep at night. That's number two. Number three is try and pray Fajr and Jama'ah. And I know that sounds a little bit difficult, right? Pray Fajr and Jama'ah. There's a lot of people on this earth, and I honestly, wallahi, I actually like envy them in a good way, that they pray Fajr and Jama'ah like it's like bread and butter. Like, Fajr in the masjid for them is like going to Jummah on Friday. Jummah on Friday for most Muslims is like, okay, I got to carve out like an hour of my Friday between like, you know, 1 and 2 to go do my Jummah Salah. Like, they have to do it. There are actually people in this world, believe it or not, who treat their Fajr prayer in the masjid just like Jummah. They're like, I have to go pray Fajr in the masjid. I have to. I have to go there. And even if you cannot for any reason whatsoever, try and do Fajr Salah in the home together. Try to, my kids are champions at snoozers. Try to do your Fajr Salah in the home with your family, even if it's one more person. You know, this is a communal religion, y'all. Even as personal as Islam is a very communal religion. Islam will always be a communal religion. Islam will always teach us that you know, when you do things together, there will be blessings in it, right? There's barakah in it. And especially when you pray in Jama'ah, you're literally, think about it, you're multiple people are praying together. There's a lot of blessing in that. So even if you have like a mother or a father in the home, or a brother or a sister, wake that one person up and pray together, right? It takes literally 5 to 10 minutes of your day, and that's it. My biggest fear, you know, subhanAllah, is, you know, when our lives come to an end and we meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of judgment, all those moments where you think that sleep was worth it, they will accumulate up and Allah will present to you the statistics of your life. And I'm going to be horrified to see how much sleep I gained from missing Fajr versus how much reward I would have gained for that sacrifice of 5-10 minutes at 5:30 or 6 a.m. You know, put it all together, it may be like a maximum of like what? Like how many hours would you have gained if you slept through Fajr versus how many blessings did you miss by sleeping through Fajr, right? I hope to God and I pray to God that Allah protects us all. Now, spiritual prep. This is the last thing I want to mention before we end our session. Spiritual prep. We talked about physical prep, spiritual prep. Spiritual prep for Fajr Salah. Number one is making your niyyah. Number one is making your niyyah. Innamal a'malu bin niyyah. Make your niyyah if you want to pray Fajr. Before you go to sleep the night before, make the niyyah in your head and say, oh Allah, allow me to wake up for Fajr Salah in the morning. Y'all ever like, you know what's really funny? I always say this to people. Whenever somebody has a flight to catch in the morning, they don't ever oversleep. You know, people actually have a hard time sleeping when they have a flight to catch at like 7 a.m. I know I do. Whenever like I'm traveling out of town to like go to a community or like give khutbah or something like that, I don't have to catch like a 7 a.m. flight to get to that place by like a 10 or 11 a.m. and like get ready and all that stuff. I never miss my flight. Why? Because it's programmed in my head. I can't miss it, right? If I miss it, then like I'm done. I can't get to where I'm going to. I have to wake up in order to accomplish that task. Now, I have mentally put it in my own head that I have to do this thing. Fajr works the same way. If you want to accomplish the task, the goal of praying your Fajr, one of the most imperative things you have to do is you have to make your niyyah before you go to bed. Tell yourself and tell Allah, oh Allah, help me. Help me wake up for Fajr so I can get up. Like the first part of it is just making that intention, that niyyah. Number two is building a routine of salah. Building a routine of salah. Pray your other prayers during the day. Consistency is key, and almost joining all the prayers together is key as well. If you pray dhuhr, asr, maghrib, isha, your fajr will fall into place. Why? Because you will start to see I'm hitting 3 out of 5, 4 out of 5. What am I missing? Fajr. I got to get 5 out of 5 here. Right? Your prayers will almost seem incomplete if you're doing dhuhr, asr, maghrib, isha, and you're missing your fajr in the morning. So get into the habit of consistently completing 5 out of 5. That's the biggest goal, right? Then the last one is understanding the implications of ikhlas. Understanding the implications of ikhlas. And what I mean by that is fajr is a prayer that is filled with sincerity. Okay? Most of us, are praying Fajr when nobody else is watching. Most of us, okay? Some of us, mashallah, are going to the masjid or praying in Jama'ah or whatever it may be. The vast majority of Muslims in the world, I can tell you right now, are probably praying Fajr Salah in the privacy of their own homes. This presents a couple of challenges or a couple of virtues. The challenges is that you almost see that nobody's watching you, so you can just kind of like fast-paced roadrunner salah yourself through that thing. Or you could be like, this is a time between me and Allah. There's nobody watching me, and I am going to perform this beautifully. It really, really helps us enhance our understanding of sincerity, because this is your time where you're one-on-one with God. There is nobody else bothering you. It's very quiet. People are probably still asleep in their homes, and you have an opportunity to join in a conversation with Allah one-on-one. And that is an opportunity that I would actually say that if we pass on it, we will really, really shoot ourselves in the foot in terms of building a relationship with Allah. That this is a time in which I not only can fulfill an obligation, not only can I actually pray to God, but I can do one of the most personal prayers that a human being can pray, which is my Fajr Salah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us all to not only make our Fajr Salah, but to also do it beautifully, to do it in the best manner possible, to wake up in a good mood when we pray Fajr, to be able to wind down before we go to sleep at night, to be able to be protected by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala throughout the day, to be able to start our day in a beautiful way on the right foot. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to allow us to engage in one of the most beautiful forms of ibadah that He has given us as an opportunity, which is the prayer of Fajr, the dawn, the pre-dawn prayer. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from all of you and all of us. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rejoin us here on Wednesday for another episode of the five series. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rejoin us ultimately in the highest ranks of Jannah, Jannah al-Firdaws al-A'la. Ameen Rabbil Alameen. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik wa nashadu an la ilaha illa ant. Nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. Jazakumullah khair. And just a reminder for everybody who's here on the live stream on Instagram and on Facebook, the Heartwork series is going to be online today. So inshallah, tune into the Heartwork series online on Instagram. As you can see, if you're in Dallas, by the way, if you can see, it literally is like one of the gloomiest days out here. It's very cloudy, very cold, very rainy and kind of, you know, moist and muggy outside. So inshallah, Heartwork will be online for all of you. We will reconvene back here for the five series on Wednesday, and then inshallah back in person for the Heartwork series and everything else on starting next week. Jazakumullah khairan. We'll see you guys inshallah throughout the week. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.